This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
If only the audience knew the skill that was required to hit the post without even really knowing the length of the song intro. What did I say right before I hit the song?
I'm going to try something new.
Yeah, and I didn't know how long the intro was, but you know, my instincts, my disc jockey instincts, Sue loves it when I talk about
this. I love
it. They kicked in, but I had to do a little water under the bridge today on the bumper music. How about
good
that?
Good song.
It is a good song. I don't think I have Adele on the bumper
list.
Well, that has changed today, Ethan. That has changed today. We have... You know what? Fred came up with this moniker. We're just going to roll with it. Telephone Tuesdays, right, Fred? Is that what we're calling it?
It's very alliterative.
We're going to take some calls in just a little bit after Sue's news at 314-241-9797. Don't call now because Ethan's not there to handle your call and the phone lines are busy. But, you know, you program that in. You make a call here in a few minutes. Now, I'm thinking about letting Alexi Reardon handle some of these phone calls this afternoon because she's in the studio 4 days after her birthday, not coming for the fish fry on Friday. Why weren't you here for the fish fry on Friday, by the way? Do you have your mic on?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you turn it on? You have some friends with you as well. Why did you not want to come down to the fish fry?
Because we had other things to do more important.
Okay. Well, why are you here today? Can you explain that to me?
Because we weren't there then and now we're coming.
So you just wanted to come and hang out with your friends?
Yeah.
Who are your friends? You want to introduce them?
This is Millie.
Hi, Millie.
This is Gemma.
Hi.
Hi, Gemma. Well, thanks for coming in. We're going to do something here in a couple of minutes called Sue's News. Alexa has been part of that before. She's also chatting with the audience, right, Ethan?
That she is. She, once again, as she has the last couple of times here, has gotten a hold of the keyboard and was saying hello and interacting with some of our listeners. So if you're if you want to go see that or see Alexa and her friends, go watch on the YouTube stream.
Yeah. True story. One Friday she was here and she was behind me where I sit at the console here at the board. And she said, can I do something with the mouse? And
I think it was during Christmas break.
Yeah. So I just said yes. And I didn't really know what she was doing, and I was paying attention to my commercials and everything. And then I realized that she was just engaging with the audience and
like
typing things out into the chat.
Full conversations.
Oh, yeah. And you felt pretty good about that, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean...
You're not on the mic. You need to learn how to use the mic. How many times have you been in there?
Yeah, that was amazing. Well, I already know how to turn on and off my mic.
Yeah, but you have to get your mouth on that mic so people can hear you. All right, 10-year-old. You turned 10 years old over the weekend. What would you like to say to the audience about turning 10 years old?
It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm older than all my friends now.
Are you looking forward to your cruise, which your dad booked on the wrong week for spring break?
Yes, because I get 2 weeks off.
Nice work, Dad.
Isn't that a win? So next week is the official spring break for Rockwood. So she's going with Mom to Milwaukee and to see her grandma and grandpa in Chicago. And then the following week is when I booked the cruise incorrectly, and they're going to the Caribbean on the Royal Caribbean cruise, right?
Well, those are good mistakes.
Yeah, those are good mistakes.
Depends on who you are, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a little win-win for me, too, because I don't have to deal with family for 2 weeks. So
that's
not the worst thing possible at all. All right. You want to hang out for Sue's News, Alexa? Can you behave yourself?
Yeah, but really quick, can I ask what my friends are doing for spring break?
Sure. Ask them. Would you like to interview your friends?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, Millie, what are you doing for spring break? I'm going to Disney World.
Oh. Did you just win the Super Bowl?
No.
Okay. That's a good answer, though. Gemma, where are you going for spring break?
I'm going, I think it's Wisconsin.
Oh, Wisconsin.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And hanging out with my cousins.
I got you.
Do
you
like where? Wisconsin.
I like to call it the People's Republic of Wisconsin, but that's okay. You can refer to it that way when you're up there. Do you know where you're going in Wisconsin? You know, we're from Milwaukee. Do you know where?
No.
It's a big state. There's lots of cheese up there, too. You'll have fun.
I love cheese and bread.
Yeah. Okay. So, I think I've had enough of my daughter already.
Pickles.
I'm not even sure why she wanted to come in today outside of just showing off for her friends. But try to keep it quiet. We got to do this here this afternoon.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, on this day in history, okay, we've got some music for this, Mark. In 1970, at the Grammys, the Isley Brothers won Best R&B Performance for It's Your Thing, so I thought we should hear some of that.
Mm-hmm. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. I can't tell you who to sock it to.
There you go.
Love that. Okay, but here's what's interesting, too. The new best new artist of 1970, I don't think you can guess it. It's Crosby, Stills, and Nash. They were the best new artist of the same year that this thing won Best R&B Performance for It's Your Thing at the Isley. It just seemed weird to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, two completely opposite different things.
So I don't know, Fred, I don't know the whole story. You know who always knew the whole story of the Isley Brothers and the connection to St. Louis is Charlie Brennan. Because they have a star on the Walk of Fame, and there's strong connections here to St. Louis. I don't know all the details of that, but I'm not even so sure that someone doesn't live here anymore. Fred, do you remember any of that? Oh, yeah.
Fred. Mike.
Mike, there you go. Alexa was turning your mic on. You didn't turn your mic on. I don't know. I'll look into that. Brennan would be the one to ask about that.
Okay, that sounds like a history of the Lou with Sue.
Yes,
I did not have any idea, Mark. I had no idea.
Oh, no, there is I'm not doing a very good job of explaining what the connection is, but there is a connection to some of the brothers here, for sure.
Well, 1970 was a weird year at the Grammys because this song won. It's Johnny Cash. He won in the male category for this song.
Boy named Sue.
Well, my daddy left home when I was 3, and he didn't leave much to Ma and me. Just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue.
This is kind of relevant. Right?
Well, he must have thought that it was quite a joke, and it got a lot of laughs from lots of folks. Seems I had to fight my whole life.
Oh, that's a great song. There you
go. Isn't that awesome? So all of that in 1970. Sorry, Ethan, what were you going to say?
I found some information on the Isley Brothers.
Isley.
Isley, I'm sorry.
Or the Isley.
Isley.
That's all right. What'd you find?
Both Ernie and Ronald moved to St. Louis in 1998 and have resided here since.
Get out!
That says they even performed a Tiny Desk home concert from their St. Louis studio.
Oh, that's awesome.
So Brennan has their contact. If you want to do History in the Sioux with Lou.
Yeah.
History in the Lou with Sue. You could do it the other way, too, but Charlie might be your go-to on that.
All right, well, that's awesome.
They recorded Ira DeWitt's Notify Records in Brentwood, it says.
Oh, be darned. I had no idea. All right, 45 years ago today in St. Louis history, in 1980, the world's first floating McDonald's opened on the riverfront downtown. Oh,
and I still
remember these days.
I still miss it.
I do too.
That was it was so iconic. And, you know, if you went to the Arch, you went to the Floating McDonald's, right?
Yes. I remember getting back from college and I had somebody visit me and we went down, of course, to the McDonald's on the riverfront. It was the world's only floating McDonald's.
You know, one of my first stories as a reporter at KMOX was going down to the riverfront.
Was it
onto
really?
The McDonald's.
Oh, I should've.
Taking Mark Close with me.
Really?
Because he had just started at KMOX, and I had to show him how to use a tape recorder and interview people to do a news story.
Wait a second. I don't know that I knew that Mark Close worked at KMOX.
Yeah, he did for several months.
Trained
maybe?
By Fred.
Yeah.
Before Casey.
Yeah. Oh, no, after Casey.
Oh, after Casey. I got you.
The first because time he was, got let go.
Because he was doing stuff. That's right. Yeah. I do remember that. Yeah. So it was after Casey. That's where you threw me off.
Wait a minute. So you two, you and Close went down to the world's first floating McDonald's.
Yep, we were hanging out there talking to the manager.
I should have told you that, Fred, so we could have pulled that out. Because that would have been awesome.
Do you have that audio still?
Nah, good luck finding it.
Do you guys think that if that McDonald's were to come back, it would be successful in today's day and age?
I don't know. What do you think, Mark?
Well, first of all, you'd have to survive getting down to the riverfront without getting shot.
That's, that would be the biggest concern, I feel like, or negative, too.
I actually think if you had a situation where everyone felt safe down at the riverfront, I think it would do well because it's kind of a novelty thing. If
it
you brought
is.
It back,
I
people would want to say, oh, I want to go to the floating McDonald's.
I do, too. I think so as well.
They did it in the style of an 1880s riverboat. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, and you would walk in. 350 people could fit in there, and it closed down in the year 2000.
I don't think I knew it lasted that long.
I was born in 2000.
Oh, you missed
context.
It? Nothing? Never. Oh, that's a shame. It was built, by the way, on a 185-foot barge. That's how they did it.
It was always risky because of the cobblestones to actually get into it.
Yeah, a little bit. And they had greeters. They had greeters before you walked across
that.
Into the
That's
to so the actual
cool.
restaurant.
That's
yeah, you so would have
cool.
loved it.
Because you had to go across the little bridge thing, didn't you?
Yeah, you had to cross the water to get there. All right.
Ah, the good old days in St. Louis. The floating McDonald's and the Casino Queen. You know, when we had to ride around and fake out like you were actually floating on the river in order to have a casino. That was fun, too.
Although he is not retiring from basketball, Steph Curry is set to become an assistant general manager for the basketball programs at his alma mater, Davidson College. Sounds like the GM is somebody who worked at Under Armour, and that's who Curry has his contract with for the shoes and the clothes and the whatnot. So they're familiar with each other, and he's going to help the men's and women's basketball programs and probably raise money. It's a little place. That's going to be cool.
This is, it's genius. It's the best thing that they could have done is continue to, use that connection until it is gone.
Yes.
Because, he's the best shooter of all time.
Yeah.
Use that connection. That's genius.
Okay, we'll ask the peanut gallery about this or the ladies. Here's a story about a place in Australia that just divided the internet with its newest offering, oranges on pizza. Yes or no, ladies? Oranges on
Alexa?
Pizza.
I think yes.
What?
Interesting. That is controversial.
Millie said no.
Millie, no.
Millie and Jim are much smarter.
Alexa, you're crazy.
I think it would be good because they're pretty close to pineapple.
Oh, now see, she brings up a good point.
But I didn't think you like pineapple on pizza?
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
She's 10 now. She's maturing,
like
Mark.
I guess so.
I think that's gross.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Who said it's gross?
Thank you, Gemma.
I'm with Gemma on that. No, we don't put pineapple on pizza.
The place is called Bubba Pizza. They have about 15 locations in Melbourne, and their ham and orange pizza. It just got worse, Fred. Ham. Ham and orange pizza is basically Hawaiian. They just subbed out pineapple. And subbed in orange slices, and they are peeled. Now, who would ask
gross.
If it was peeled? That is so disgusting.
That's so gross.
They're obviously doing it to wind people up and to get the press, and it's working.
By the way, I want to mention this because I crashed into the studio today when Sue was doing History of the Lou with Sue. And you're doing a History of the Lou with Sue on Emo's Pizza, which I find fascinating.
Yes, thanks for bringing that up with Margie Emo. And they're the founders of it. They had one little store, and she tells the story of growing it to what it is today. It's nuts. They bought like a used oven for $25.
Where was their first store?
Thurman and Shaw in the Shaw neighborhood.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Is that going to be airing this weekend?
I believe so.
Okay.
I believe so.
Alexa Reardon, did you have something? Did I see you wanted to weigh in on something else?
Did you look up the picture?
I feel like ham would not be good, but spam would be.
Oh.
Listen, given the choice of ham and spam, I will take spam.
So she likes spam because I make it,
you fry it?
Yeah.
That's the way
I make it with eggs, and she's kind of into the spam and eggs right now, so that's why that came up. Good choice. There you go.
Lou Thomas used to make that.
Yeah,
it's the
like
only
it.
Thing he could make.
Might be the only thing I can make outside of cookies.
A video of frozen chicken McNuggets from Walmart is trending because they were all empty. No chicken. Just breading. A mom in Jacksonville posted it. And they're Walmart's own brand. It's a great value. There must have been a bad batch or something. And you could watch her on this video. She'll just pull one out, put it down, cut it open.
And it's just all
nothing.
Breading.
Just really? Breading. It's air in the middle.
Hey, Alexa, do you remember the Sue's brother lives in Houston, so Sue goes to Houston. But what was the restaurant at the Houston airport that you loved so much? You remember what it was?
Papa's Burger.
Papa's Burger. Oh, yeah.
And also, there's a comment that says banana on pizza. I feel like that would definitely be disgusting.
You're right about that.
Yeah, so
but
glad
let's
to
go
see.
Back. Stay focused. Stay focused on the topic. Papa's Pizza. What did you like at Papa's Pizza? It wasn't the pizza. It was something else, right?
It was the chicken fingers
right.
because I liked that it barely had any chicken yeah. in it, and so, it had more breading than chicken.
But what she said at the time, this was a couple years ago, probably 3 years ago, 4 years ago. She goes, even the stuff on the inside is good. Like the actual chicken.
Yeah.
The
yeah,
actual chicken.
Right.
Reminded me of that story.
That's kind of entertaining to me. There was a guy, here's my good news story, even though it's a little bit, not as totally uplifting. I just like it when people actually take down criminals. Okay, a guy in England tried to rob a convenience store last week, but a 42-year-old woman was buying candy. Now, this is on video. You could look it up. And she happens to be a fifth-degree black belt. So this guy comes in, he's all looking, covered up in the whole nine yards. He's going to rob the place. Well, she's trained in Brazilian jiu-jitsu and boxing. She landed one big kick, and he chased him out of the store, and that was it. They hailed her as a hero, and she got a commendation from her local police department
That's
for
awesome.
It. And she said, man, I've been waiting to use this forever. You know, it takes a long time to get to a black belt, and now she got to actually use it. And finally, in Sue's News, we have today's random fact. Now, this is a movie one. When The Truman Show was coming out in 1998, director Peter Weir, his idea was to have hidden cameras installed in every theater showing it and then have the movie cut to the audience watching it. That would have been wild, but they wouldn't do it. I know!
That's really? Interesting.
It is. So, in other words, you'd be on your own little Truman Show
right.
while watching the movie, The Truman Show.
That's kind of cool.
Like it.
But it never happened. I don't know whether it was expensive or impossible, but that's what
I got. I got a quick question before yes. we wrap. Has there ever been discussion about a Sue's News with only random facts of the day?
Ooh, it hasn't. There's been a discussion about Alexa doing the random facts of the day.
Oh, that's happened.
She's got a book that kind of is really good with random facts.
Ooh, that's nice.
But she did that over Christmas break.
She did.
She had the random facts. It was about the bunnies in Australia.
By the way, I just have to mention that Peter Weir is one of my favorite directors. He did films like The Year of Living Dangerously. He did Witness with Harrison Ford. He did The Dead Poets Society. He did Fearless, which is a great movie. He did Master and Commander, which is an outstanding movie. He did The Way Back in 2010. So he is really a great, great director. And a lot of those movies I'd love to go back and watch again. Australian director, by the way, Peter Weir.
That's cool. And that's it for Sue's News.
All right, there you go. Ethan, are you ready to take phone calls?
Let's do it, baby.
All right, we're going to call this Telephone Tuesday because Fred came up with it, so I like it. And here's the deal. You know, on this day in particular, the stock market's falling apart. I am very curious about positions on tariffs. Not that anyone out there is an expert on tariffs, although maybe you are, but I'd love to hear if anyone is directly affected by this. We heard from Blake Hirsch last week, who's a farmer in Tarkio. This is hitting some, you know, people harder than others. Now, the other thing, Fred, did you see the development this afternoon? So Doug Ford goes on from Ontario, and he says, look, we're going to slap the 25% tariff on electricity. They were saying that they were going to shut electricity. Basically, well, not shut it off, but raise the tariff rate for electricity for three different states. And then he backed off on that. So
right.
a lot of this right now is just, blah, blah, blah. But look, whatever's on your mind here this afternoon, if you'd like to jump in, we're only doing this on Tuesdays, at least for now. 314-241-9797, 241-9797. Jump on in here. We're going to take some calls here for the next half hour on the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk. And my daughter is banned from taking calls, so she can't do it.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Telephone Tuesdays, a little bit of an experiment on the Mark Reardon Show. We got a few people on the line. You can jump in at 314-241-9797. So I was going to do this last week, and let me toss this out as one of the topics here, because I read this column in the Indianapolis Star, and the headline was, "Doge fired me, I'll be fine, but America's in trouble." Opinion. Peter Gaff is the guy who wrote this, and he talks about how he was in 2020 sworn in as someone who started a new position with the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID. Right? His first with the federal government. And he goes on to kind of tell his story. He left Indiana in 2003. He had sort of orbited USAID. He says his first job was for a contractor. Then I worked with a series of organizations that received USAID funding in India, Haiti, and in the U.S. But this is what caught my attention. I don't know if it's going to catch anyone else's attention. He says, "My colleagues in USAID's Bureau for Humanitarian Assistance quickly put..." Well, let me back up a little bit, because the person who wrote this said, "I had never seriously considered joining the agency because they were working as a contractor. And the question that they asked themselves weren't government employees disengaged and uninspired working for a paycheck and little else?" So he says, "My colleagues in USAID's Bureau for Humanitarian Assistance quickly put the lie to such prejudices. They were passionate, tireless professionals, strenuously committed to the Bureau's mission of saving lives and reducing the suffering of the world's most vulnerable people." And this is the part that caught my attention. Okay. He says, "I saw them hop on planes with less than 24 hours notice to respond to disasters in Turkey, Pakistan, and Haiti. I spoke to them after they spent nights in the basement of a Kyiv hotel while Russian drones attacked outside. And I silently cheered as they prepared our top diplomats to try to stop a famine in Sudan." So I'm just going to stop right there. And I'll just see if anyone has a reaction to that. Because when I read that paragraph in particular, I thought about something. And, you know, this guy goes on and on talking about how this agency in particular is so important to the rest of the world, so vital to the rest of the world that people even here in the middle of the country, because he's writing it in the Indianapolis Star, you know, of course people want to see a leaner government, but this is not the way to go. But I think it's maybe missing part of the point as well when it comes to Doge. Just a guess. 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797. You want to talk about the stock market tanking, Doge, any of these things. Now, apparently, I have a very familiar voice on the line here this afternoon. Hello, you're on 97.1 FM Talk. Is this Chris in the country?
Hey, Mark, long time no talk. Chris in the country. Sounds like old days.
It does sound like old days. So, Chris, we've shared his story. He's going to come to the Fish Fry on Friday in Cottleville. He used to call me when Dave Klein was my producer, Sue, and Dave slapped him up there as Chris in the country, and we would take the calls. And you're always, in 2016 in particular, blabbing about Trump. Trump this, Trump that, right?
Right. And guess what happened?
Well, he was elected, and I think he was elected twice. But then Chris was shot in the head, unfortunately. 48 Hours just did a big piece on him. And you're writing a book that's going to come out this summer, aren't you?
That is correct, my friend. It's completed design. I sent you a cover page, and you're featured in it, too, which you know that.
Featured in it? I mean, literally three or four chapters, I would hope, right?
Well, at least one. I mean, I got you your 15 minutes under 48 Hours episode.
No, and I appreciate that. But look, you're going to join us on Friday at the Fish Fry, right?
Yes, I am. But I'm calling to talk about Doge, actually.
Well, go ahead. This will be like old times for sure.
All right. Well, this one really ticked me out, because back a year and a half ago, I was looking for grants for myself to see if medical grants could help me like heal in my recovery, because I was paralyzed, whatnot. But when I found out usgovernmentspending.org, which is a government website, .gov, I'm sorry, that we can all look at, which came out way before Doge was ever around, okay? But I came across a study on What makes fish more drunk? Tequila or vodka? $75,000 that we spent on that. So
only $75,000. That would have kind of been a fun, experiment to take part in. But that illustrates the point, doesn't it?
Correct. I mean, it's just the waste and spending that we've been getting ripped off by this government, by our government for years, Mark. And we didn't even know it. You want to know why? Because we trusted them. We were told to trust our government. And they've been wasting our tax money. They may as well just be burning it, throwing out the window, making it rain.
Well, but what they'll tell you, what the other side will tell you is $75,000, that's just a drop in the bucket. That doesn't mean anything. You got to go after the real spending. $75,000, why do we even care about that?
Because it's 75 grand that could have helped me.
No, I'm with you.
And a lot of other citizens in our country. We're not the world's bank.
Well, I think that's a big part of it, and that's why I don't know if anyone will respond to the question that I had, when I read the USAID person, but we'll see if that happens. But, Chris, we'll see you on Friday. How does that sound?
All right. Thank you, sir.
Take care. We'll see you on Friday. That'll be fun to have him at the fish fry. Jason, you're on 97.1 FM Talk. Go ahead.
How you doing? I was in uniform, specifically the Navy, and worked with USAID a couple of times. And DOGE cutting that agency is a godsend for us. Each time I worked with USAID, they were arrogant, incompetent, and the aid that was delivered usually went to people that hated our guts and our allies' guts. So just putting it out there, good riddance to USAID.
Well, so let me piggyback on that, because when I was reading that, you had this guy making the case for all these things that they did in different countries, right? They were in Turkey, they were in Pakistan, they were in Haiti. We've had earthquakes and hurricanes and things like that. They're in Kyiv. And I get that, but my point would be, the whole goal here is to focus on American resources and put America first, right, Jason? That's kind of what Trump is all about, and that's what his supporters have kind of latched onto. So when you're making the case for USAID, like this guy is, look, this is a great organization. Maybe it is a great organization. Maybe we did very important things. But at this point in our existence, given the financial constraints that we have, given the fact that we're in $2 trillion in debt, we're going to go into a period here where we can't help people in Turkey, Pakistan, Haiti, and Kyiv as much. We have to help people in Chicago and in North Carolina and in Los Angeles. And that's what I think a lot of people are missing. We understand this is important work, but our taxpayer money should be prioritized, and it hasn't been. And I think you have a personal example of that.
Absolutely. I don't mind helping people when they're in trouble, but we have to target it smartly. And we can't be giving aid to those who literally would like to kill us.
Yeah,
and that's literally what I saw when I was in uniform. So the money that is currently being used in USAID, we need to cut a lot of that and recoup that. But some of the stuff that actually does go, some of the funds that actually go to help people, they could very easily be funneled through Secretary Rubio, through the State Department, and have the same effect.
Well, right. That's what I'm wondering. Are there ways to do this? Now, look, I don't know how you put all this stuff under a microscope, because you're going to have, we help the whole world, right? We do all this. We provide relief when there's natural disasters. We save people. But how much can we do when we're not doing stuff for American citizens? And I think that's part of it. I don't want to become, these are called, people like me now are called isolationists, right, Sue? We were always isolationists.
Yep.
I get that there are things on the world stage that need to be addressed, and apparently people come to us because we have all the money, we have the power, and we're, the place that everyone wants to live. But I do think we've gotten to the point, especially with all this stuff that's been exposed, the nonsense spending, it's easy to go after that, though, and say, look, this is embarrassing. We shouldn't be prioritizing this. However, having said all that, I still think we have to get to the real, nuts and bolts of the spending, and unfortunately, that's the entitlement spending, and I don't know that that's going to be coming down the line. Jump on in here if you'd like to contribute. Telephone Tuesdays, 241-9797, 241-9797. We're back in a moment. Well, we're taking phone calls on Telephone Tuesdays because Fred named it that, and I'm rolling with it here. 314-241-9797. So we have someone on hold who wants to talk about daylight saving time, and that's a fair game as well. Get to that here in just a second. Fish Fry Fridays continue at the Knights of Columbus Fish Fry in Cottleville this Friday. We hope to see you there. Jane will be on the roundtable. Former State Senator Jeff Smith and current State Senator Nick Schroer. Also, you heard from Chris Smith. He will be there in the 5 o'clock hour, so hope to see you on Friday in Cottleville. Somerville. That'll be fun. In the next hour, Azra Namani will be here, who is a fellow at the Independent Women's Network. She's a regular guest. Dave Simons will weigh in on what's going on Wall Street here in just a bit as well. Plus, I'll have an audio cut of the day. Back to the phone calls this afternoon, at least a couple more. Hi, Barb. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. What's on your mind?
Hi. I was just, first of all, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say, you know, we didn't get in the mess that we're in overnight. It took years to get here, and it's going to take a while to get out of it. But we're headed in the right direction, and we're going to be a great country if we can just hold on tight. It's going to be a rough ride.
It could be a rough ride, but I think what you're saying is right, that there, and this is why people keep, maybe even in my world with, you know, political types, they ask me, what do you think about all this? I'm like, I love it, because I've been waiting for a lot of this to happen for a long time. And I wish there was another path. You know, Trump last week, one thing that hasn't gotten a lot of attention because it happened on Friday, but there was a cabinet meeting where things got really hot. And Rubio and Sean Duffy, who's the transportation secretary, were very concerned about some of the DOGE cuts. Elon got into it with Rubio, and Trump sort of sided a little bit with Rubio and his cabinet and said that we're going to start doing a little bit more of a scalpel when it comes to these cuts. And that's all well and good. But unfortunately, I think the scorched earth method has exposed a lot of things, which is why I'm at least a fan of it right now. But there's no doubt some people don't like it. There are people that are affected by it. And maybe they're going to scale it back. Bill, you're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hello, Mark and gang. Thanks for taking the call. Hey, so all week you guys have been talking about the time change. And, you know, Trump said it was a 50-50 issue. I mentioned, some of you guys mentioned the same thing as well. And I got to tell you, I'm living proof that it's not a 50-50 issue. I just don't want the time to change. You know, they could call it midnight. Right now, I'd be perfectly fine with it. Pick a damn time and leave it be.
You know what? Dude, I think a lot of people are on that same page, because it gets confusing, right? And then, you know, Fred was highlighting some of the sleep issues that people have. Yeah, pick a damn time and go with it. But we've been talking about this being a realistic chance at changing it for 3 or 4 years now, and it's not going to change,
no.
Is it?
No.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm with Bill. Yeah, thank you for calling, because I think he's right about that. Just pick a damn time and see what's going on here. Makriako, did I pronounce that right?
Yes, sir, you did.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow,
I was given a pronouncer. I can't believe I got that right. Go ahead.
Well, I was thinking about DOGE. A lot of that money has already been allocated, and if you don't stop it now and then go back and correct it, that'll be spent by the time he gets around to it a few months later, and you won't be able to bring it back. So I think it's good that he, you know, catches it now. Then, well, you can correct the problem.
Right, but one of the criticisms of DOGE is almost exactly that point. In other words, bear with me here, what they say is, look, this is money that's already been allocated, and you know, these people have it in their accounts, so you're not really cutting any spending. Well, I think exposing it and making sure we can't go back to some of that spending is still important, and I think you do as well, right?
Yes, yeah, I'm hoping they can retrieve some of that, like Stacey Abrams' $2 billion. You know, she hadn't spent it yet, somewhere hiding in a bank. And
oh, yeah, but they spent it a little bit. You know how they spent it in Georgia, right? I talked about this yesterday. There was money. See, she tried to sell this as this pilot program, and then the EPA went for it. So they had a pilot program that said, and look, this is the thing about these left-wing causes. They in theory, they want to help people, right? Their hearts are big. They don't think with their brains. So just, this isn't that complicated. They came up, this is what they're doing in St. Louis with Tisch and this Rams money. They want to come up with these social programs, right? They want to be social workers. They don't want to do things the way that we used to, because none of that works is the claim. But you have a situation, I think, with spending and with allocations to a lot of programs in this country that are just outrageous. And it's been exposed for the last month and a half. So if Elon has to cut back on DOGE, my fear is, Sue, this is where I'm really worried. I'm worried that this whole thing that happened on Friday with the cabinet is probably not going to end well, because people have been predicting this for the whole time. Elon and Trump, they're going to have a divorce. They sat during that interview a couple of weeks ago. Remember the Brett Baier interview?
Something.
Where they were both there.
Yeah.
And, you know, Trump deflected. They were asked questions about whether or not, you know, there's tension in the room. Now, there was tension in the room on Friday during this cabinet meeting. Actually, I think the cabinet meeting was Wednesday. The reporting in the New York Times was on Friday. So it got hot. That's good. That's democracy. Make your case, Sean Duffy. There shouldn't be cutbacks here. Make your case, Marco Rubio. That's what they're doing. I like it. It's democracy. Seems to be working. Chris, you're on 97.1 FM Talk.
So I'm just kind of curious. I mean, obviously, we're on this whole Doge kick, which is great. Find all this money that's being misspent at for, you know, let's just say the last couple decades, because obviously the government likes to spend a lot of money. But do you actually think anybody's going to see any consequences? Like, for instance, money being found being used through USAID to fund the Clinton Foundation, and then the money being tied to Chelsea Clinton, like, do we actually think that there's going to be any actual arrests? Because I can't imagine that's the only foundation that was collecting this money.
I don't think, I mean, you're asking if there's any crimes that are committed. I don't know that anyone's really alleging crimes. This is just the way that, you know, Washington works. It's the swamp. And to your point, there's a lot of people on the Republican side that have benefited from this, doling out the cash, right? That's part of the, it's part of the game in Washington. It really is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, I'll be the first one to say I believe Democrats and Republicans, they're all crooked. The money pot's there, they're all putting their hand in the, you know, in the jar. Again, probably why they need to get to term limits where these people can't be in there for 40 years and just make money. You know, but again, obviously they're going to vote on that themselves, so it's never going to change.
Yeah, well, so, and there's, you know, thanks for calling. I really do appreciate it. The whole thing with, you know, it sounds good, you know. Term limits. And let me tell you something. I was a fan of term limits in Missouri 30 years ago, and they failed miserably. So I don't know what the answer is, because what really does happen in government, and maybe it happens more at local and state level because the federal government is so damn big, but when you have people, and I think the last couple of years in the Missouri Senate are a pretty good example, you have people that are just in there on a temporary basis. They don't have, you know, long stake in the game. They don't want to think about policies that work and really think about things that actually would manifest themselves in positive things for Missouri. They just want to rabble-rouse and stuff like that. Well, that doesn't get things done. And then you have them leave and the next person comes in and they don't have experience in the process. I got a great example of this. President Trump's first term.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
He didn't know what he was doing. They didn't know what they were doing. Not necessarily all his fault. I mean, he's an outsider. This time, they know the system a lot better. The experience. Everyone has been citing the experience because the experience has really mattered. I just want to go back to one point. I made this at the beginning of the show yesterday when it comes to government spending. And this is something that I think should be highlighted. The Washington Post had a story yesterday about cutbacks from DOGE to our nation's capital, to D.C. And they were talking about how this was $1 billion in cuts. That's a lot of money, right? $1 billion in cuts. Well, it was only $1 billion in cuts because the 25 budget was $975 million, $975 million more than the 24 budget.
Right.
So in the Washington Post mind, in the legacy media mind, in the government spending mind, here's the headline. GOP spending bill would lead to $1 billion in D.C. cuts, city officials say. No, all it's doing is reverting back to the 24 spending levels. This is how out of control government is. Listen, just that's one example of one city where we send billions of dollars. And this is an example of a $1 billion cut just because we're peeling the money back and say, you know what? You need to live on the money that we allocated last year. Well, then the officials in D.C., well, this is going to hurt police and fire and, you know, all the things, all the essential services. Well, if you're depending on our tax dollars to run your city, which apparently they are, and I guess St. Louis would be in that category too, that's not the way that it should work. So I'm very curious to see how some of the stuff kind of works itself out, especially with the so-called cuts. And they're going to deal with that with the spending bill that they're working through Congress right now. Azar Nomani coming up after Fox News.
Get more at 971talk.com.